Good morning, church. Has God done anything praiseworthy in your life this week? Yeah. Yeah, when we come, right, when we gather together, what we come is we kind of come with our week, right? And sometimes it's easy to be focused on the negative things, but the reason, the reality is we have a lot of reason to praise. Amen? Amen. All right. Turn your Bibles this morning to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, we'll be reading verses 14 through 20 this morning. Today we're going to be finishing our series, Made for More. It's been a beneficial series for me in framing what the church should be about. And hopefully it's been beneficial and challenging to you as well as we talk about this truth that we, as God's people, have been made for more. Right? That God's intention for His people, for His church, is that we would have a purpose. And that we would have a passion that extends beyond ourselves and beyond the walls of this church building and is targeted at a world that He loves. And so far, some of the targets that we've hit along the way show us that God desires His people to be a people who engage cross-culturally, right? Who look at a world that is not like us, people who are not like us, and we are unashamed to bring them near. To bring them near to us, to bring them near to the Lord. Of people who engage cross-culturally. Also, we looked at that God desires His people to be a people who live missionally in this world. Right? God sends out His people as salt and light in this world to be an example of His love. Are we living intentionally where God has planted us? And then last week, we talked about God's church being a people that passionately set an example for others to follow. Right? This is the concept of developing spiritual leaders and using our giftings to lead and encourage and bless the people around us and bring them toward the Lord. And at the core of spiritual leadership, we talked about that actually being an imitation of an example, where we can say to other people, be imitators of me as I am of Christ. And this week, we will be exploring the target that a people made for more are a people who are partners in the global advancement of the gospel. We might say sending out missionaries and participating in missions work. And so as we begin, let's anchor this concept this morning in God's word, because the truth is it doesn't matter what I think. It only matters what God thinks and reveals to us in His word. And so let's read this together this morning, Philippians chapter 4, starting in verse 14. Says this, yet it was kind of you to share in my trouble. And as you Philippians yourselves know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving except you only. Even in Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs once and again. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. I have received full payment. And more. I am well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gifts that you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. And my God will supply every need of yours according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Church, will you pray with me? Father, as we approach your word this morning, really that's what it's all about. It's about your glory. God, we want to exalt you in this place. We want to exalt you in our hearts, and we want to exalt you in this world. It's about your glory. And so, Father, I pray, God, that it would be that glory that's impressed upon us this morning. God, that we might sense the weight of it, that we might respond to it with our own lives, our hearts, our thoughts, our actions. And so move us according to your will, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. A young college professor was going over his syllabus with a bunch of his students one day, and he said to them, do all of the assigned readings and do all of the papers that I assigned you, and do your final project well, and you will pass the class. Well, there was a student in the class who was not really listening and kind of looking out the window off in left field. And he didn't really hear what the professor said. All he heard when he checked back in was the last part. You will pass the class. And he thinks to himself, great, this dude's not invested. I'm going to get an easy A. And so he doesn't show up to class. He doesn't do the homework. The rest of the class, he just phones it in, assuming that he's going to pass without doing any of the work. So when he discovers that at the end of the class, the professor in fact failed him, he gets mad at the professor. All because he took out of context what the professor actually said. And that's not unlike sometimes how we treat God's word. Where God, he makes throughout scripture these amazing statements, these amazing promises. And when we read one, we think to ourselves, wow, that's awesome. And we love to latch onto that statement. But the problem is, when doing that, we often can take that verse out of its context. And then when we do that, we begin to hold God to promises that he never made. And because of that, we might be surprised when those promises seem to fail. Well, Philippians 4 is that kind of chapter. There are these amazing statements throughout the whole chapter of Philippians 4. I'll just bring a couple out. Rejoice in the Lord always, Paul says. You say, I can do that? I can rejoice always in every circumstance? He says, do not be anxious about anything. And we think to ourselves, I can get to that point where I don't have to be anxious anymore? He says, the peace of God will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And we say, it will? In all circumstances, I can have peace. He says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We say, I can? That's incredible. Philippians 4:19 is also one of these verses. It's often memorized and quoted. It says, and my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. What a great promise that is. And I would love to be able to, as a pastor, just stand up, just rip that one right out of scripture and stand up here and say, guys, I got something for you this morning, right? My God will supply every need of yours and all things, no matter what, in every circumstance, just because he is who he is, according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Right? We're like, whoa, what a great promise. Like, sign me up for that. Right? Who wouldn't want that? And we misunderstand because we take it out of context and we misapply its truth. Now, it is truth. Don't hear me wrong. Okay? But we separate it from the context. You see, this is not a prosperity gospel kind of verse. Right? It is not saying that when we come to Jesus, all of a sudden we have no need and life is grand and, you know, it's just, you know, we get in this inner tube and we kind of float down the lazy river of life now and God is just lavishing on us steaks and daiquiris and money. Right? It's not like he gives us like the little umbrella to shield our tiny poor little heads, vulnerable heads from the sun. Right? Like, this verse is not about our ease. What's the context of this verse? Did anybody catch it as we were reading? It's missions. Paul is talking about his experience with God's people who were giving generously to and participating in the work of advancing the gospel of Christ. Last week we talked about the people of God being a body with many parts and with many giftings. And that's interesting because when it comes to the body, we often rip that one out of context too. And when it comes to missions, as God's people, we need to be careful about how we use the metaphor of the body of Christ. Because I've noticed the tendency To use the image of the body is actually an excuse to avoid missions and avoid doing basically anything we don't want to do. Right? We say, well, I'm not a mouth. I'm not a hand. I'm not a foot that can be used to go places or do things or speak truth. We say, no, what I really am, I'm more of an elbow. Right? I just love getting people a little shove in the sternum, and just letting them know that I'm there. That's really my spiritual gift. Or you say, no, I'm more of a stomach. Church potlucks? Like, that's really where my passions lie. Right? Listen, the metaphor of the body, it's not really about what part of the body people are. It's about being a part of the body. Right? Being a part of the whole, invested in the work of the whole, being on a functioning team together as part of a network. 2 weeks ago, we talked about how God calls all of his people to be salt and light in the world. And the truth is that we are all meant to be missional or on mission. Now, it is true that in the body of Christ, there are some in the body that receive a special calling, right? Who have been called by God to go, sometimes to leave everything and go. And in that, the rest of the body, we are called to love them. We are called to come alongside and to support financially and physically and emotionally. Why? Because we are one body. The church is called to be faithful. The church is called to be generous as God is. That brings us to our text this morning, verse 14. Paul begins by saying, "Yet it was kind of you to share in my trouble." That word trouble comes from a root word meaning to be pressed. If you know anything about Paul's missionary journeys, Paul's ministry in general, he was often pressed. Missions work is hard. It's a high call, but it's a hard call. People who are willing to give up their lives and comforts and personal agendas to respond to the Lord's call to go to the nations and to participate in the work of his kingdom so that the world might know Jesus and hear the gospel of his salvation. And often these missionaries go into places where the general attitude is indifferent, sometimes hostile. Many are in danger, either from governmental authorities, or in the case of some of our human trafficking ministries, they're in danger from straight up dangerous people. And yet many choose to leave their comforts, their nice heated homes, their good paying jobs, their churches, their family and friends, their support networks, in service of the Lord. And in most cases, to do that, they need to be dependent on the body. The partnership of other people, financially and otherwise, who are willing to step in and share their troubles. When I first graduated from college, the Lord didn't call me into the church right away. He called me instead to missions work. I joined Campus Crusade for Christ, and I was on college campuses. Now, I didn't quite have to make the sacrifice that many missionaries are called to make, but it was still a massive step of faith for me. Right? I had to raise my own support. Right? I had to be dependent on the giving of others in order to get a paycheck. Right? I had to live by faith that the Lord would provide for me. I had to shelve my own personal agenda for my life in order to respond to where I perceived he was calling me to go. And yes, I was called to step into environments that were at best indifferent, sometimes hostile. And what I found in that place was a body of Christ full of generous people. A people who said, if you're called, then we're called. A people who were called by God to share, a word that means to partake with my trouble. Jesus says, as I have loved you, so you must love one another. Well, what's one way that we do this? Galatians 6. Carry one another's burdens. And in this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. Let us not grow weary of doing good. So then, as we have the opportunity, let us do good to everyone, especially those who are of the household of faith. We're so blessed to be part of a church that has always valued the work of missions, of advancing the gospel. Nearly 20% of our total giving every year goes directly to supporting the advancement of the gospel and those doing that work. And that's been the heart of this church for as long as I can remember. And here's the cool thing with that. When you give, and when I give, when we designate a portion of that gift to missions, we are sharing in that work. Now, is giving to the church the only way that we can share in that work? Of course not. No, we can go ourselves, right? We can participate, be the hands and feet, be out on the mission field. We can do that. We can also support other people. Becky and I support several people and organizations that are not connected to our church that are advancing the gospel. Is one better than the other? No. And neither should we feel obligated to share in all of the needs and all of the opportunities around us, because there are many. But we do invest in some, because we have discerned that God has called us to share generously in the work. Verse 15. And you Philippians yourselves know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving, except you only. Even in Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs once and again. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. See, here's the biblical truth here. When we become partners in the work of the Lord, that partnership is not one way. We often think of it as one way, right? You come to me asking for money, and then I say, sure, and I give you something. But that's not biblical. As we give something, God says we also receive something, often in the form of his spiritual blessings. Anyone who has ever gone on a missions trip knows what I'm talking about. When I go on a missions trip, I go giving something. I go to minister somewhere. But the truth is, in my going, I actually receive something. I come home a different person than I went. I came home feeling that I've received in some profound way, actually much more than I gave. One example from this in my own life was a missions trip that we took to Toronto in my mid-20s. Our goal was we were going to minister to the poor and to the foreigner by serving in some of the local missions organizations in Toronto. And we had two groups. And my group was assigned to tutoring Somalian children in how to read or learn to read English. And these were immigrant families. These were refugee families. In other words, they were not white, middle-class, suburban American Christians, if you pick up what I'm talking about. Okay? Like, talk about somebody not like me. And we were told by the ministry organization, you are not there to convert them. That's not your goal. They know that you're Christian. They know that we're Christians. They know why we're there. They know why we exist. They know why we do what we do every day. We have ongoing conversations. This is a relationship that we have with them. You are there to love them as Christ would love them. You are there to love their kids. You are there to be a blessing to them and to help them succeed and flourish and thrive. And while you're there, be in relationship. Talk with them. Hear their stories. Accept food from their table, because though they have nothing, they will offer it. Give them dignity and worth. Respect them. See them. Love them. And I'm telling you, we did the same thing with the poor, by the way, but I'm telling you, as I poured out that week, something was being poured in. As I was giving to the Lord, I was receiving abundantly more from the Lord. And I left that week profoundly changed. I had a different heart for the poor, for the lost, for the foreigner. Because God is a generous God. Jesus in Matthew 8:10 tells his disciples, "Freely you have received, freely give." In Luke 6, Jesus says, "Give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over will be put into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you." You see, God's kingdom is an upside down kingdom. The way up is down, on your knees, surrender. The way to be first is by being last, humility. Counting others more important than yourselves. The way to find life is to lose it. Take up your cross. Die to yourself. Follow Jesus. And the world would say, heck, logic would say, that the more that one has, and the more that one keeps for himself, the richer that person becomes. God says it doesn't work that way. Proverbs 11. One gives freely, and yet grows all the richer. Another withholds what he should give and only suffers want. It's an upside down kingdom. Why is this? Well, verse 18. Because what we give is ultimately an act of worship to the Lord. A fragrant offering. A sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. Beloved, hear me this morning. Stuff and the accumulation of stuff should not grip us. Right? Because we have Jesus. And in that, our wealth is incalculable. Scripture says that in Christ, God has given us every spiritual blessing. That in Christ, we are filled with all the fullness of God. How full is God? Well, that's what we're filled with, right? We have been completely forgiven. We have been set free by Him. And in our passage this morning, that is how verse 19 fits in. When it tells us that as we live generously, with a focus on His kingdom, with a heart of worship, that God will take care of us because He is rich. My God in that place will supply every need of yours according to the riches, His riches in glory in Christ Jesus. It's about worship of Him. He is the giver of every good thing. Do you have Jesus Christ in your life this morning? Have you accepted Him? Have you accepted His sacrifice for your sin? His lordship in your life? Is your life oriented in worship of Him? Because by that, what we will experience is a generous God. He has made me rich. And in turn, He then calls me to be like Him. Generous, humble, loving, supporting His work, sharing in the burdens of others. One of the values that we hold as a church is having a global mentality. What that means is that because we cherish the gospel, because the gospel is the power of God for salvation, we are compelled by love to take that gospel to all people everywhere. But caring for the mission of God requires us to be a generous people. And we cannot be generous without sacrifice. To give means to sacrifice. And at the core of our willingness to do that is this little issue of love. Right? Loving others as Christ has loved us. Because if I love Him and I love you, I'm more willing to pay that cost. Why do missionaries go? Well, because they love Jesus. And because they love the people they're going to enough to go to them. Why do we send? Well, because we love Jesus. And because we love people enough to pay the cost of sharing the burdens of those who go. And so in closing, I want to land this as practically as I can with just a couple of application questions. And yes, it's application for today's message, but it's also application for the larger message of being made for more. The first question I have is just a simple one. Is your God generous? Have you experienced the generosity of God in His love, in His faithfulness, in His kindness, in His goodness, in His abundant provision? I read this gem from Forbes magazine this week. Forbes put out an article that said that the average American today is 90 times richer, 90 times richer than the average historical human being. Right? So just financially speaking, God has been very generous to us. So is your God a generous God? Has He been generous to you? And then the second one, where is He calling you to partner with Him for the sake of the gospel? It doesn't have to be much. You don't have to go to Africa unless He's calling you. Then I would suggest going. But it doesn't have to be much. But if you want to grow, if you want to lay hold of some of the things that I've been talking about, it begins with our being willing and our being generous. Right? Start giving. Start investing in the lives of the people around you. Start taking to God your time, your talents, your treasure. Right? And say, God, where would you have me invest for the mission? And if you have been partnering with Him already, ask the Lord, is there someplace deeper that you want me to go? Do you want to take me further up and further in? Do you want me to increase my investment in some way? And I'm not just talking financially. We have 32 missionaries that we support here at PCC. Adopt one of them. Right? Send them care packages. Write them notes. Love on them and encourage them. Go visit them. See the people that they are investing their lives in for the sake of the kingdom. Maybe God will give you a heart for them as well. Right? And then in that, maybe God is calling you to go. Right? You're like, man, I just can't ignore it. Like, I really feel like God might be leading me to go. Come talk to me about that. I'd love to encourage you in that call. So in closing, I'll just take us to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, where Paul says the point is this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Right? God wants His church to be a generous church. Each one of us must give as He has decided in His heart, not reluctantly, not under compulsion, not because the pastor stood up here and preached about it. Right? What's God calling you to do? Because God loves a cheerful giver. Church, we pray.